with you in it. Maybe it would be for her too, but you're proven. She looked around. She peered at either woman. Claire, prepare to fall out and follow me on three. As she turned to Jill, I took off running in the opposite direction. My still active sonic amplifier sent vibrations thundering through the ground with each step, causing the whole world to move. Mark, what the hell are you doing? Mina cried behind me as I unslung my pulse laser. Saving you, I snapped over my shoulder as I dropped to my knees and took a shot at the closest flyer. The clean beam of protons caught it through the thorax, blowing it in half and sending bits of superheated body parts across the ground between the worm and me. Well, at least I got that flyer bounty before I kicked off. Mark, you're an idiot, Mina said, loud enough to overcome the digital fanfare and tinkle of coins in my head. The flyer's body hit the ground, causing the rumbling of the sandworm to veer off course since I was no longer moving. As it thundered toward the fallen body, I shot another flyer, causing them to home in on my position. More laser fire filled the air as I hopped to my feet and took off, drawing both the sandworm and the flyers away. Go! I've got a sandworm to kill, I cried, taking another pot shot at the flyers while the ground beneath me shook. The worm was coming closer, speeding up with each step I took. This was their shot because in a few seconds I'd be dead. All right. Mina turned to her girls. Let's go. They made no bones about following orders. Even Claire did as she was told, taking off behind Mina the instant she counted down to go. I guess emergencies bring out the soldier in everyone. The moment they moved, I let my rifle retract into my suit. The flyers were moving too fast for me to get a bead on them and avoid their fire. Besides, that wasn't the point. Instead, I turned my attention to the sandworm. If I was going out, well, I'd go out swinging. Annabelle, I said, give me my chainsaw. I began to laugh. This thing might kill me, but not without some pain. The chainsaw appeared in my hand. The weight of it like an old friend come to comfort you in your last moments. I lifted my foot and stomped hard against the ground as my heel slammed into the dirt of the alien moon. The ground beneath me gave way as a snarling mass swallowed me whole. 20. Annabelle, helmet, I cried as I slid into the open mouth of the creature. I knew my helmet wouldn't offer much more protection once my shield failed, but as the metal of my suit rematerialized around my face, I felt a little better. Besides, it had helped filter out the absolutely disgusting smell of rancid meat from hitting my nose. Helmet deployed, Annabelle said as the thing's tentacle-like tongues began to slap at my body, clinging to my shields like suction cups despite the electricity that had to be coursing through them. Then again, I remembered reading somewhere that sandworms didn't feel pain. I'd always thought it was a misnomer, but maybe I'd been wrong. God, this place stinks. I glanced around for something I could do as the creature closed its jaws, causing its teeth to grind against my shields while the suckers held my torso in place. Now, without that pressing problem to deal with, how do you plan on surviving, Mark? Annabelle asked. Because if you do not, you'll be in violation of subsection C, paragraph 6 of the Alliance Charter. And since you won't be around to face those charges, your commanding officer will be. Damn it, I snarled. I didn't just sacrifice myself so the Alliance could put Mina's head on a platter. Then you'd better survive, Annabelle said, like I hadn't planned on doing anything about it. No, I'd planned on doing what I always did. I was gonna fight as hard as I could, scramble as much as I could, and hope to God I got lucky enough to make it out alive. Divert 90% of power to shielding, Annabelle, I said, idly wondering what the bounty for a dead sandworm would be as I revved my chainsaw. See, one flaw with all those video game icons and crap was that you really couldn't see the nameplate of something you were inside of. As I cut away the suckers holding me in place, she answered in a tone that reminded me that she was programmed to do whatever was necessary to save the integrity of this suit. Already done, Lieutenant Ryder. In addition to self-preservation, The Alliance would, of course, want to retrieve whatever they could of it. Whether or not they'd be willing to fish through a sandworm's guts for the prize was another thing, I suppose. May I also state that being a martyr doesn't suit you, she added. I slammed hard against the chomping teeth of the thing with my chainsaw as the rows and rows of sharpened incisors ground against me, and though I could feel pain and discomfort, I couldn't feel much more because my shields were still holding, though for how much longer I didn't know. I don't need the snark, Annabelle, I said as the teeth surrounding me began to spin like drill bits, grinding into me. I took the opportunity to slam my chainsaw into its mouth, and as I did, viscous green blood splattered over me. The creature moved, and my whole world went topsy-turvy as the thing bucked violently. It must have tilted back because I slid forward down its throat as its mouth finally closed, leaving me in complete darkness. And maybe give me some sonic sight, she finished as my eyes shifted the way they saw inside the suit. I kept forgetting that during times when my heart rate rose to an obviously panic state. My suit didn't need to wait for verbal commands. In times when it was obvious that my sorry ass was in major trouble, and the pitter-patter of my heart suggested I didn't know what the hell to do about it, Annabelle could go by my neurological impulses, or even take the reins herself if it seemed the suit itself was in danger of being completely destroyed. The sonic sight was a good move, where thermal vision would have proven completely useless inside the belly of the beast, where heat abounded. Sonic sight would allow me to look around with sonar. I felt the crunch of the thing's teeth against me as it continued to chew, grinding against my shielding like a destructive massage. I saw it differently now, though, like I was dropped into a black ocean. I saw an endless abyss of darkness around me and not a lot else. Give me a shield check, Annabelle, I said, swallowing hard as the energy shielding I could see through my helmet lit and shimmered as the teeth pressed against it. Shields are at 77% and falling. The external temperature is wreaking havoc with my own internal power source. I was afraid of that. In addition to the corrosive internal liquids in this thing's mouth, it was hot as hell in here. The combination wouldn't bode well for me. How long do I have, Annabelle?
Until what, Lieutenant Ryder?
Until Christmas, Annabelle. Until the shields give out and I become monster food. What do you think I mean? I scoffed right before I was tossed backward through the back of the sandworm's throat and down its gullet. It must have decided it was easier just to choke me down and be done with it.
Now who's being snarky?
Annabelle shot back as I drove my chainsaw into its flesh along the way down, cutting through the sandworm's insides and spilling more viscous slime across my body. There was just one problem. As the blade hit the sandworm's skin, it screeched and began to smoke. No matter which side I came at its armored flesh, I wouldn't be able to cut through it, and worse, I risked breaking my chainsaw before I could do more damage. Annabelle, I yelled, frustrated as I changed tactics, pulling the blade back to a depth that let me slice and dice without worry. Unfortunately, the sandworm didn't seem to care about me turning its insides into sashimi.
ETA for complete shield failure is 3 minutes, she said. Death is projected to follow 30 seconds after that.
It would be 30 painful seconds. With the shielding gone, the corrosive liquids in the sandworm's belly would eat through even the equilibrium of my suit, and then, when that was finished, it would devour me in my entirety. The top layer of skin would be the first to go. That would be the most painful. It would likely eat through my eyes, too, blinding me to everything but the pain. The pain and the still horrible stench. Most of the pain would be gone by the time it had worked its way to my tissues and bone. I would be dead in seconds. Everything I was destroyed and replaced with dissolved gunk. It might sound a little grotesque and way too detailed, but anatomy is something they teach you before you become a Marine. If you understand your body, you can use it better. At least that's the idea. In addition, it helps to give you a better understanding of when things have gone too far, or when it's clear that our bodies won't survive what it's been put through. That's why there's a kill switch in our suits.
a series of words that, when spoken together, will initiate instant death for whoever is wearing the suit. It's supposed to help us when things are darkest. It's mercy. A safety net against the idea of a horrible and painful death. I had never seriously thought about using it, and hadn't even let it cross my mind cosmetically in years. I wasn't that kind of guy. The pain wasn't something I was afraid of, not even remotely. If so many of the grass-fed boys and girls I had seen over the years could bite it without having to use the kill code, I definitely could. Still, I couldn't deny that all alone here, with absolutely no way to get out and nothing to do besides suffer and die, the thought was absolutely crossing my mind again, and not just cosmetically. 5 little words. That was all it would take to put an end to this. 5 words, and I wouldn't have to go through the hurt, to suffer the indignity. Sure, my body would still be destroyed by this thing's acids. I would still be churned into shit and be passed at this creature's first convenience. But I would go out on my own terms. 5 little words, and I'd finally learn what Bill Langham and his son now knew. What happened next, and if it was all worth it? No. I shook my head, remembering myself, remembering who I was. I wasn't some weak little bitch. I wasn't a grass-fed, and I sure as hell wasn't gonna go down like one. I was on postage stamps. I was the name in anthems. I had been the main character in no less than 3 made-for-holovision movies, and God help me, the next one wasn't going to end with me being eaten by a goddamn bug. But what could I do? I was already fucked, and not in a good way. Shielding is down to 47%, Annabelle reported. Full shield failure is estimated in 90 seconds. Internal database scanning comes up with no viable options for survival. Should I initiate recording for your last will, testament, and message? No, I said, stubborn as I had ever been. I've got nothing to leave, and everyone I care about already knows that. Plus, I tightened the grip on my chainsaw. I'm not gonna die today. I took as deep of a breath as I could. Even with the fancy schmancy filtration system we'd upgraded to, it was hard to get a good breath. That had to be because most of the power that would be going to silly things like life support was going into shielding. Still, I couldn't let things like breathing get to me. I needed to keep focused and keep clear. I had 90 seconds to do what no man had ever done before in the known history of this or any other world. I was gonna have to survive getting eaten by a sandworm. The thing was, if I had to put money on anyone doing it, I would have wanted to pick myself anyway. Wish me luck, Annabelle. Deploy foot prongs. Before the words had left my mouth, the prongs jutted from my toes, slashing into the tender insides of the sandworm and halting me in a place before I could fall all the way to its stomach. I wasn't sure exactly where that would be or what it would entail, but I guess the acid in its stomach would be way worse than what was in its saliva.
You have said the phrase, luck is for the weak, 67 times in my presence, she reminded me.
It was the stupid phrase. Something from a movie I'd seen. In truth, I believed luck was as big a part of survival as training. It sounded cool, though, and it did a lot to make me feel like a big man when I needed to. There was a lot to be said for pumping yourself up when the chips were down. I envied people stupid enough not to know how deep the shit they were standing in was. I had never been that fortunate. You're right, I replied, and swung my chainsaw, striking the worm's flesh and splitting it into gooey bits. The thing was that every time I struck, it seemed to heal before my eyes. But I ignored that, focusing on carving away its flesh until all I could see was its skin once more. That was when I realized this wasn't going to work. I still wouldn't be able to penetrate its skin.
I must remind you that you have less than 30 seconds before complete shield failure, Annabelle said. I ask you once again to consider saving your last words for posterity.
Is that coming from the Alliance? I growled, dropping the chainsaw and allowing it to recall into my suit. My last words would be broadcast all over the world, primetime news as it was. No thanks. I didn't want to be responsible for brainwashing any more kids. I couldn't go so far as to say I didn't think they should join. Wars are complicated, and everyone is different. But I didn't want to be responsible. Besides, to say my last words was to admit defeat. And I had one more trick up my sleeve. Annabelle, a few years ago, I added a toxic expulsion system, right? The memory of a day when I accidentally ingested mercury gas from a nearby explosion floated through my mind.
Affirmative.
I want to use it, but I want to point all the toxins outward, through my thruster ports.
Lieutenant Ryder, I...
Do what I said, I barked. Now, consider it a final request.
As you wish, Annabelle said. And Lieutenant Ryder, it has been an honor.
It was as close to sentimental as my suit was going to get, but it meant a lot. If I was lucky, I wouldn't need it, though. By expelling all the poison in my system, I'd cause the worm to barf me up. You'd be surprised how much toxin built up in the human body, especially on an alien world, filters be damned. From errant particles to muscle fatigue toxins, we humans were a mess. Of course, the expulsion system also expelled everything else while it was at it. Every kind of bodily waste from piss to shit and everything in between. And I was hoping it tasted just the right kind of gross to trigger the thing's gag reflex. There wasn't much, but hopefully it would be enough. I tensed as I felt the liquid pour out of my suit. Thinking of home, the past, and all the shit you think about right before you die. Then I just let it go.
10 seconds, Lieutenant Ryder, Annabelle said. Shall I count you down?
No, I like the quiet.
As you wish.
I closed my eyes and floated there, letting the enzymes and acid do their work. But then, something happened. The sandworm shook, and I was thrust forward. The world lit up with sound, and I saw a different sort of light, actual light. The damn thing's mouth was open. It was working. This worm was about to barf me right up. A smile started to spread across my face as I rocketed forward in a wave of sticky green bile. A loud explosion nearly blinded me. Acting on my thoughts, Annabelle switched my sight back to normal. I saw guts and goo and blood as I fell to the ground. I lay there, gasping for air, covered in blood, bile, and shit. Looking up, I saw Mina standing over me, an infuriatingly satisfied look on her face, and the psionic bow she'd used earlier in her hands. "I had that," I said breathlessly.
"Yeah," she smirked. "You say that a lot. Don't you?"
21. "You're not supposed to be here," I said, looking up at Mina, gun slung over her shoulder. She reached a hand down to help me up, and I took it, allowing her to lift me, though I was still pissed off about the whole thing.
"And you're not supposed to be alive,"
she remarked as I stood, gathering myself and taking a look at the pieces of monsters and guts that surrounded me.
"Aren't you glad we're both so unpredictable?"
"I told you I had that," I answered gruffly, realizing that even though I was alive in a moment where I absolutely shouldn't have been, I was upset about not getting the kill. This was a sandworm, after all. If it wasn't gonna kill me, the least I could get is the bragging rights of being able to take it down, not to mention all the weapons and upgrades that bounty could have bought. She leveled a stare at me that told me she didn't believe me, which is reasonable, given that no one in the history of the world had ever survived where I just did. Still, I wasn't an ordinary Marine. Then again, neither was she. "I tossed some mess into its stomach, got it to barf me up," I said, trying to explain my case.
"I figure that," she answered. "The damn thing was retching like it was about to combust."
I narrowed my eyes at her. You saw that I was about to come out and you still fired into its open mouth? Anger spiked in me.
Of course I did, she answered smugly. I figured that if you were even alive at all, it was because your shields had stayed up. A few psionic arrows wouldn't change that.
She shrugged. I linked them to the mental override I'd bought for the flyers, and then used a really expensive death command protocol. She shrugged. Even if they had hit you, it wouldn't have mattered. As I followed her logic, I was inclined to agree. Moreover, I was impressed as hell. For that to have worked, she'd have to have shot an arrow through its open mouth and into its central nervous system. It was a one in a million shot, and not something that could probably ever be repeated, especially if the sandworm was trying to eat you at the time. Only that hadn't been the case this time. It had been focused on throwing me up, giving her the time she needed to take the shot. And if it had been anyone other than her, they'd still have screwed the pooch. Besides, she continued, what were you going to do once that thing coughed you up? She shook her head like she was admonishing one of her girls. You know as well as I do that the only shot I had at taking this down was when I had a clear shot into its open mouth. A shot I afforded you, I chimed in, suddenly feeling like I was defending something that didn't really need to be defended. I knew better than to actually care about things like kills and credit. Bounties aside, that was grass-fed stuff, something I'd moved past long ago. Still, there was something about being around a woman who was so close to me in terms of merit and accomplishment that brought out the competitor in me. What are you doing here anyway? Don't you have a squad to keep safe?
The squad can take care of themselves, she pointed out. Well, more or less. Besides, I told you that I'm not about to be known as the woman who let Mark Ryder die.
She nodded at me. Not today, anyway. Blinking, something dark passed through her eyes. Not like that. She shook her head, and just like that, the darkness drifted away, replaced by a fierce determination the likes of which I had only ever seen staring back at me from the mirror.
Come on, she said. We've still got work to do, and I don't have time to go saving you at every turn.
She pointed to the dead sandworm.
Take the energy you used up inside and let's go.
Wait, you're gonna just give me its energy? I was confused. I mean, she was right. I needed to replenish my shields and life support, but it was one thing to give away the energy from a walkie or two. It was another to give away a sandworm.
Mark, take the energy. She met my eyes. Now.
Fine, I said, doing as she asked and absorbing the energy from the sandworm, as it filled my capacitors to the max. I couldn't help but feel like an asshole for arguing with her about the kill. After all, she'd just given me the equivalent of a year's salary if I sold it off. Not that I was going to do that. We can share it. I reached out my hand. You did get the kill shot.
Mark, you told me you had it.
She met my eyes. And there was something in them I didn't quite get. Certainly not the anger I expected, but it wasn't there all the same.
Are you telling me you lied? Because I find that hard to believe.
She lifted her bow back to the ready position, and I couldn't help but notice how she looked in the quickly vanishing light, with what counted as the system's sun behind me, backlighting her and forcing whatever flaw she had out of my vision. She looked young. Nearly as young as the girl she had with her, except where they were filled to the brim with a flush of youthful exuberance and optimism. Mina was etched with a sort of wisdom and realignment I recognized. Strangely, it made her more beautiful than the others. It certainly made me a hell of a lot more impressed. I shook that thought off. The way she looked against the setting sun was neither here nor there. The fact that we were still, at this very moment, in more danger than most citizens of Earth would ever face in their lives was what mattered. She could have been a lumberjack with a beer belly and a face tattoo for all it mattered. In fact, I'd probably do better to look at her that way. The girls, I said as we both started running toward the cave where she was already supposed to be. Where are they?
Doing their jobs and trying to keep the fires out of the cave, she said, her feet stomping loudly as she ran. It was obvious to me that she had initiated the sonic amplifiers in her boots, and that was how she'd drawn the sandworm back up to the surface. It was a smart move. But keeping them turned on would undoubtedly draw any similar creatures toward us.
Want to do something about that? I asked as we ran, looking down at her feet.
Turn the boots off, Margie, she said, obviously talking to her suit.
Margie? I asked, shaking my head as we ran. Even your suit is a woman?
I want it to work, don't I?
She scoffed as we caught sight of the flyers at the mouth of the cave. I saw them reacting to whatever weaponry Claire and Jill were using, though I couldn't see through the circle of flying and sometimes dying bugs.
My thrusters still work, I reminded her.
I'm gonna take to the skies and go at these things from a higher angle. Maybe shoot down at them. She wasn't the only one with a shiny new pulse laser after all.
No, Nina said, nearly snapping at me. Claire's shielding was destroyed in the first attack.
Damn, I muttered. What about backup?
She didn't buy the upgrades.
I could tell from Mina's tone exactly what she thought about that decision. Goddamn grass feds.
Hey, she shot back. They might be less experienced, but those are still my girls. I won't have you talking about them any way you feel like.
We strode up to the circle of floating bugs, their wings flapping. If their fuck-ups are gonna get me killed, I'll say whatever the hell I want. Thrusters on, Annabelle. I launched upward, chainsaw in hand. With long-range weaponry out of the question, thanks to Claire's penny-pinching ways, I figured the best thing to do was go at these bastards like I was in a street fight. Well, a street fight that was in the air, anyway.
Hey, Annabelle,
I said as I neared the flyers, smiling as the first one caught sight of me.
You ever seen those bug zappers like they used to have in front of screen doors out in the country?
I am not a person, Lieutenant Ryder. I've never been out in the country, and I've never seen anything. Still, my databases are showing something akin to what you describe. Is there a reason for your inquiry?
Sure is, sweetness, I said, feeling about 1,000 pounds lighter than I had just a few minutes ago while I was swimming around in the belly of that beast. I want to show them what happens to bugs when they mess with country boys, I chuckled. So how about you lace this chainsaw with enough electricity for me to remind them where they ought to be in the evolutionary chain? My request wasn't completely accurate. I wasn't a country boy, per se. We lived in the suburbs, always had. Still, if you went 10 miles south, there were hay bales and rusted barn roofs the whole 9 yards. Besides, it sounded slicker coming out of my mouth.
As you wish, Lieutenant Ryder, Annabelle answered. Though I must inform you that the electric upgrade for this particular weapon is sold separately.
Of course it is, I muttered as the first of the flyers started at me. Just buy the damn thing. She could purchase things without me seeing the store or its cost as long as she had my verbal order. It was a feature that was touted as an advantage in split-second battlefield situations. Me? It was something I felt was actually a scheme by Alliance merchants to take advantage of desperate Marines in desperate situations.
Purchase complete at 100,000 coins,
Annabelle informed me, and for a second I nearly wanted to check my bank account.
Turning on now.
I reared back, looking at the flyer in front of me all flapping wings and claws, anger filling me every bit as much as fear. Thrusting my chainsaw forward, blue energy sparkled around it. It hit the bug, zapping it dead nearly instantly as the blade of my saw worked its way through the thing's body. Yep, that was worth every penny, I muttered as I watched it fall to the ground. Good bugs were dead bugs. Everyone knew that.
Congratulations, Lieutenant Ryder, Annabelle cheered. If you kill 3 more Akbarian flyers or their subspecies before the end of the day, you will earn a 20,000 coin killstreak bonus. Isn't that delightful?
I ignored the cheery AI and flew toward another, slicing its head off before it even had a chance to turn around, and then another. I slammed the running chainsaw through its chest and watched as dark liquid spewed from the hole I created. The electrical upgrade shocked it to death before I could finish cutting it through, leaving the corpse of the thing hanging limply on my chainsaw. I pushed it off, letting the body fall on another bug before knocking it to the ground. Me and the others would deal with that one. Killstreak crap be damned. That was when I saw Claire. She was bloody and struggling. Her shielding was down, leaving her vulnerable, and the rocket spear in her hand wasn't doing her any favors. She needed something more. Something that could deal with all three of the flyers surrounding her. A bug slammed into my back, knocking me forward in the sky. I could feel the thing pull at my arm hard. "Damn it!" I cried as my chainsaw fell to the ground, still spinning, still sparking. "Watch out!" Claire, the person closest, looked up and shrieked. She dove out of the way, and the chainsaw struck one of the bugs that lunged in for her, killing it instantly. It must have counted as an official kill because the sound of jingling coins filled my ears in a most annoying way. Annabelle sang the official Alliance Killstreak anthem as I turned, clocking the bug who had my arm hard enough to knock it back as we hurtled downward. As it released me, I grabbed it by the carapace and initiated my left thruster while turning off my right one, throwing us into a wild arc that spun us around right before we slammed into the ground. The flyer hit first, shattering on the hard-packed earth like a broken egg, while also managing to cushion my fall enough to keep me from doing the same. "Thrusters off," I said offhandedly as I scrambled to my feet and grabbed my chainsaw, while Claire moved to cover me from the remaining two flyers. "You almost killed me," she barked. "What's the matter?" I scoffed. "Sad you weren't going to get the honors yourself?" I glanced down at her spear as the remaining bugs neared us. "That's not going to cut it. Get a wire whip and a fire upgrade." "That's 20,000 coins. It'd take me a month to..." "It'll take you a second to die," I interrupted her. "And two more to get the rest of us killed. Get a goddamn whip and put an end to this." She sighed loudly, but I saw her eyes glow. She pulled her hand back, and when she flung it forward, a blood-red whip composed of thousands of razor-sharp wires glistened in the air. Wire whips were great melee weapons for this situation. Electromagnets throughout it coordinated with the mini-computer in the hilt and the suit targeting systems to not only increase whip speed, but unerringly guide it on its way. Claire's whip slapped into one flyer with a thunder crack that knocked it to the ground. Claire's face filled with determination as she targeted the next flyer. I rushed the earthbound one, digging my chainsaw into it before it could even react. The zapper function made quick work of it. Looking back up, I saw Claire's whip wrap around the remaining flyer's torso. The bug struggled to pull away from the whip's grasp, wings beating the air as it tried to lift off. It was pulling so hard, Claire was having trouble both holding on and staying on the ground. "Ignite!" I screamed, watching as one of her feet left the ground. "What?" she asked me with panicked eyes. "Tell the fucking whip to ignite," I shouted. "Ignite," she repeated, and a string of fire ran up the whip, lighting the bug up like the night sky of an Independence Day celebration. The whip instantly let loose, saving itself from the dangerous convulsing of the flyer as it went through its death throes. The body crumpled to the earth, and I noticed that, against all odds, we had done it. I, along with Artemis Squad, had killed all the flyers and actually managed to survive this. "Fire whip?" Claire asked me breathlessly, looking at the weapon she had just bought and then back at me with just a skid of less distaste. "Fire whip," I repeated. I took a deep breath, thinking I might have just a second to relax. And then our band started to buzz again. "Damn," I muttered. "Just damn." 22.
"I can't believe this,"
Jill said, looking down at the band on her wrist and shaking her head. The contents had scrolled across our arms the instant the bugs were dead. as though the Alliance somehow knew that we finally had a moment to breathe and wanted to screw with that. May have been the case. Our suits recorded everything we did, said, and saw. Sure, the Alliance told us there was a pretty sizable delay between what happened in the field and what they saw up in their perches in the hall. I knew better, though. I had seen enough and been through enough to know their reaction time was damn good when they wanted it to be, when it helped them. Like it did right now.
Can you believe this?
Jill asked, looking up from her band at the lot of us, her purple eyes wide.
We run to this cave, this very cave, and then the objective changes.
She shook her head.
What about the hill? I thought we were supposed to get to the hill.
Forget about the hill, Mina said, her voice dripping with both certainty and the sort of indifference years of barely escaping death earned you. After all, once you've had to cut your way through a flurry of fanged bugs who want nothing more than to rip you from limb to limb, things like last-minute plan changes kind of lose their potency.
We have a mission. This is it.
Jill looked at me from across the cavern where we'd found shelter after the bugs were killed and our bands went off. As she stared at me, her violet eyes flickering against the fading sunset, I thought maybe she was looking for some kind of confirmation, an assertion that her confusion and outrage was well placed. She wouldn't find it with me. I learned a long time ago not to waste my time trying to guess the motives of the people in charge, though they had all been where we stood once upon a time. I was always amazed by how quickly they forgot what it was like to be out in the field once they'd taken their leave from it. We were chess pieces to them. Checks on a list and money on paper. Infantry was an assembly line. If we died, there would be people to take our place. Sure, there was no denying that losing both Mina, John, and Mark Ryder in one fell swoop would be a painful blow to both world morale and the cosmetics of the Alliance as a whole. They'd work their way through it, though. They'd probably even spin it to their favor. Not that I had any idea how they'd get that done. Look on the bright side, I said, staring at Jill's unblinking eyes and feeling a bit of connection with her. She, like I had been several years ago, believed in what she was doing. She saw the fight as a good one, one that needed to be fought, and she was going to do it. I could respect that, even if I wasn't 100% sure I even agreed with it anymore.
And what would that be?
She asked, purple eyebrows shooting upward with her question. If we're in this cave, we're not out there. I looked from Jill to Claire and back again, trying to make sure I was getting a certain point across. If you think things were crazy out there a few minutes ago, you'd both wet yourselves once the sun goes down.
I'm sick of hearing that, Claire said, impatience in her voice. Don't get me wrong. The Alliance sent us a new map to follow and a new position to get to. I'll follow it. I'll do it without opening my mouth because that's my job.
She nodded firmly.
That's right. I do my job. And I'm sick and tired of being treated like some kid who doesn't know what she's up against. The two of you might have experience. You might have been thrown into more missions than years I've been alive. But I'm young, and so is Jill. We were trained with the new stuff. Better tech, more advances. We didn't sit through years of antiquated training we had to unlearn later. Claire, Mina barked. No, Claire shot back, turning to her dark-haired CO. You're the leader of this squad. I'll treat you the way you deserve to be treated, but I expect you to pay me the same respect. I've been through things too, and so has Jill. We've risked our lives just like you, and our lives are just as valuable as either of yours.
I didn't mean to imply that they weren't, I said, narrowing my eyes at Claire. I knew the woman didn't like me, but I hadn't seen the truth of it before this moment. It wasn't me, not really. It was a problem with authority. Well, authority and change. It wasn't the best combination of things for a Marine to have, given the sheer amount of orders we were expected to follow on a daily basis. Still,
There was a fire inside of Claire I found exciting. In fact, that's why I'm telling you this, I continued. That's the only reason I've ever told either of you anything. I shook my head and walked toward the woman. She didn't flinch. In fact, she arched her back in response, thrusting her breast out toward me defiantly. I blinked, taking in her arched back and perfect form. You think it was easy for me to see Billy die, or Opie? Who the fuck is Opie? Claire asked. Any of them, I answered. All of them. All of you. You're all fucking Opie. I cleared my throat. There's an endless parade of you people that come walking through these lands, beating back bugs and fighting the good fight. I've seen more of you die than I can count. I know more dead people than I do living. Do you have any idea how screwed up that is? I do, Claire answered, leaning back and jutting her hip out defiantly. At least, I think I do. What I don't know is what that has to do with me. I don't want to see it happen to you, I admitted, setting my jaw. You're a bitch. Hey, Claire fumed. I shook my head. I mean that in the best possible way. You're a stone-cold bitch with a heart of fire and a beast in your belly that is constantly trying to get out. Am I wrong? She didn't answer. You got a lot of potential. And I don't just mean as a Marine. I found my hands clenching into fists at my sides. You could be a hell of a woman. Probably already are. Hell, you've already impressed me and I've only known you for a few hours now. That isn't easy for me to say, given that I sort of fucking hate you. It's mutual, she muttered. I didn't need this right now. None of us did. We had a mission. Sure, the mission had changed, and we were about to head deep into this cave, which, yes, was something I absolutely had no interest in doing. That didn't matter, though. What mattered was surviving this goddamn mission, and to do that, we needed to be on the same damn page. I was at a disadvantage. Artemis Squad knew each other intimately. They knew what they were capable of and what their strengths were. What was more, they trusted each other. I might have just gotten saved by Mina from certain death, but I didn't have their trust. I hadn't earned it the way she had, and this infighting, this female pissing contest I was witnessing, wasn't gonna make any of it better. I needed to be sure I could trust these women. And more than that, they needed to know they could trust me. So, instead of telling Claire she was being unreasonable and completely ridiculous at a time when we definitely didn't need that from her, I swallowed my pride and did what I thought would work best to get me out of the hated zone I seemed to be in. I gave in. You have a point. I looked over at Mina, hoping she could see the motive behind my eyes before I turned back to Claire. You're a Marine, just like the rest of us. I looked over at Jill. Both of you are, and you'll be treated as such. Doesn't mean you don't have to take orders from your commanding officer. But I'm not her. I shrugged. In fact, I'm not anything in terms of the squad. You know the rules. I have no jurisdiction outside any squad I wasn't handed. You could, for all intents and purposes, toss me out of this cave and go on about your business. You'd have done nothing blatantly illegal.
You know I'm not going to do that, Claire scoffed,
though there was some understanding finally seeping into her eyes.
I'm not saying I don't have anything to learn from you. I'm sure I do. Hell, I've learned more than a lot from Mina, and people say you're almost as good as her.
I take issue with the use of the term almost, but I appreciate it, I said, nodding firmly. And I'm not entirely sure I'm done learning yet either. So while we're here and forced together by circumstance, maybe we can all do our best to learn from each other. Claire nodded at me tersely, then looked to the ground.
If that's finished, Mina said, shaking her head. Can we get back to the issue at hand? Judging by these coordinates, they want us to venture deep into this cave, which means we're about to deal with some of the most dangerous things I can even think of. she sighed. Angry mothers.
Mothers?
Jill asked, looking from me to Mina and back again. Only one reason the Alliance would want us darting off our path and into a cave, I said. They found something there, and the only things that are in these kind of caves worth anything to those people are...
Oh, God.
Jill slumped against the wall.
Eggs. We're going after a nest of Akbarian eggs, aren't we?
She looked up at me, suddenly aware of how dangerous this really was going to be, and ran a hand through her violet hair.
Things are about to get sticky. I hate sticky.
23. I took a deep breath and studied the women around me, taking stock of just who they were and what they had to offer, as I saw it anyway. Mina was easy. She was every bit as accomplished as I was. A fierce woman with enough fire in her eyes and steel around her heart to charge up any mountain or stare down any insect. Better than that, I didn't have to worry about her. Unlike my own ill-fated crew for this mission, or even to a lesser extent the rest of Artemis Squad, I trusted Mina could take care of herself. She was smart and seasoned enough to know what needed to be done, and she was impressive enough to know how to do it. One look at her lithe and toned body told me she took this every bit as seriously as I did. Her form was a thing of beauty and, more than that, a work of function. She had trained long and hard so all the weak spots in her physique had been honed into a perfect weapon. She caught me looking at her, at the way her suit hugged the curve of her hips. Maybe it was the fact that we had just been through so much together. Or maybe it was just that I was so damn tired. But I didn't turn away. Her eyes locked onto mine, dragging them up from the tempting shape of her torso, over the hills of her breasts and right to her face. She blinked at me wordlessly for a moment and turned away. The motion drew my eyes to Claire. She was a red-haired firecracker with energy to spare. She was inspecting the whip I'd convinced her to buy, wrapping it around her hand and pulling it tightly. If she hadn't been wearing her armor, it would have torn her fingers off. She bit her bottom lip as she looked the thing over, presumably satisfied with its size. A thought crossed my mind, a very different one about whips, but I pushed it aside. Finally, there was Jill. Purple-haired, astute, and eager to please. She was the perfect Marine, on paper. I hoped she had it in her to get down and dirty when the chips were down. That was the thing I had found more often than not. People who follow the rules have a hard time learning not to, and sometimes breaking from what you think is right is the only thing that will keep you alive. We need to move, I said, swallowing hard and turning my attention back to Mina. She blinked at me as if she was purging herself for the moment we just shared. Instantly, the steel was back up. The commander was back in charge. You don't watch your clock, do you? She asked, shaking her head at me. God damn it, I muttered, realizing what she was talking about. Internal clocks were a way for the Alliance to safeguard themselves against legal blowback should a soldier go into battle too tired or without enough rest or sustenance. From the instant our feet touch down on an alien planet, a clock starts ticking. We have 12 hours to get what we need to get. Anything beyond that is deemed too aggressive a schedule. To enforce that rule, our suits are placed on timers. Once the clock runs out, the suit stops functioning for a minimum of 3 hours, the time allotted by the Council for Human Health and Development as the least amount of rest a body can get and still be able to function. There are exceptions, of course. If you are in a dangerous or time-sensitive situation when the timer gave out, the suit would still work. And if you found yourself attacked or otherwise endangered during the rest period, the suit would roar back to life as well. Outside of that, you could try every trick in the book, and the damn thing wouldn't restart. Since all of us landed on this moon at the same time, it made sense that our timers were synced up.
Given what Mina had just said, I had to imagine they were running out. I pulled the clock into my line of sight. It had run down to 20 minutes. Not nearly enough time to complete our mission.
I figured the top of the hill would serve as a good spot, Mina explained, shrugging after waiting just long enough for me to look at the timer.
We would have been able to see for miles in any direction from there. She looked back and forth.
As it is, we're kind of sitting ducks here.
No, we're not, I answered. Annabelle, I need cyber netting on the entrance to this cave as well as the far end leading off into the cavern.
Affirmative, she answered in my ear.
Make it tight. I don't want anything getting through.
Affirmative, she related.
You have cyber netting? Mina asked, actually sounding a little impressed. You can never be too careful. Blue web-like netting sprung from either of my armored sleeves. It covered the entrance and the mouth of the cavern, giving us a moderately sized space to rest in that would be reasonably safe. The stuff was, like so much of our gear, nanite-made and pretty durable, as well as being wirelessly connected to my band. If something punched through, I'd get an alert about it. There are a few flues to duck into, I said, motioning to three separated ducts in the interior cave wall. You three can stay in either of those. I'll keep a watch on things out here.
The netting won't stop the wind, Mark, Nina pointed out. You'll catch your death out here. The girls will stay together. You can have your own space, though I appreciate the gesture.
She nodded at me before looking over at the girls.
You heard him. We have 3 hours. Get all the rest you can.
I nodded, moving to my flue. After I settled down, I lay there for a long time after that. A single light for my suit, the only thing on it that still worked, illuminating my tiny cavern room. Thankfully, I had opted for upgraded camping gear, and before Annabelle cut me off, I pulled out an inflatable mattress and thick blanket. I lay wrapped in it, with my suit retracted into the small metal emblem that hung in a pendant around my neck. I had stripped my clothes off, too, right down to my lucky duck print boxers. Mina might have been concerned about me freezing to death, but I'd always slept hot, ever since I was a kid. That wasn't going to change now. Even if it did, my suit would deploy to shield my body from the elements if it deemed my core temperature had dropped too low. My mind was racing as I looked up at the cavern ceiling, thinking about eggs, bugs, and Billy Langham. This was supposed to be in and out. It was supposed to be an easy mission. And now it had turned into something else entirely. Who knew what the future would bring at this point?
You up?
A hushed voice said from the opening in the flue. My body tensed as I lurched forward, sitting up in bed.
I'm sorry, the voice said. I didn't mean to startle you.
Looking forward, I saw in the glow of my suit light, Claire, standing at the duct entrance. She was wearing a black t-shirt that hung just past her thighs and nothing else, save for her suit, also retracted into an emblem on her neck. Her red hair hung over her left shoulder, and her now dormant whip was still balled around her right hand. What are you doing here? I asked, swallowing hard.
I couldn't sleep.
Not bothering to ask if she could enter, she made her way toward the foot of my mattress.
I didn't put in for the camping gear, trying to save my coins and all. I have to share with Jill, and that girl is a cover hog if I ever saw one.
I chuckled to myself. I'm sorry to hear that. I'd offered to share, but...
Would you?
She asked, narrowing her eyes at me.
Because the way I see it, you were pretty hard on me out there before.
She bit her lip again.
You really let me have it.
I was just trying to make a point. I was a little unsure of where she was going with this, and a little hypnotized by the expanse of milky white skin that was her legs.
You succeeded. How would you like it if I did that to you?
She settled right at the foot of my bed. If you made a point?
If I let you have it, she corrected,
her wire whip unspooling from her hand and hanging in the air in front of me like a threat. No, not like a threat.
like a promise. She lifted her left leg and placed it on my mattress. It dipped down just as her shirt rose. I caught a glimpse of red panties as she swung the whip gently back and forth in her hand. "What's going on here, Claire?" I asked, feeling my muscles tense under my blanket.
"You know, Jill's not the only one who had a poster of you up in her wall growing up."
She smiled, her lower lip still pressed between her teeth. "Is that right?" My heart sped up more than a little. "I got the impression you weren't a fan."
"Maybe I just didn't want to admit how big a fan I really was. It's hard to meet your heroes."
"You didn't have a problem meeting Mina," I said, leaning forward even more and bridging the gap between us. She was staring at me now.
"Mina was different."
"You didn't have a poster of her on your wall?"
"I did," she answered. "I just didn't kiss it every night before bed."
With one sharp tug, she pulled the blanket off me, leaving me exposed to my boxers.
"I used to dream about you," she said breathlessly,
her chest heaving with each word. "What did you dream about?" I asked, close enough to her now to feel her breath on my face.
"Let me show you."
She ran her hands through my hair while her lips pressed into mine. She flicked at the whip, wrapping it around my arm. If it had been powered, well, I wouldn't have had an arm anymore. In this instant, though... "No," I said gruffly, pulling the whip off and throwing it against the cave wall. "I already told you." Grabbing her forcefully, I turned her onto her back and pushed my body against hers. "I'm in charge here." Then she kissed me again. 24.
"Wake up!" Mina's voice boomed through the cave, startling me awake. My body tensed, my first thought being of Claire lying beside me. I was a grown man. I didn't need to justify my actions in the bedroom to anyone, even if that bedroom was a cave in the middle of an alien moon. And certainly, I owed Mina John no explanation about what I did during my off hours. Still, I would have been fooling myself if I didn't admit that sexual activity between Marines in the field, while not expressly forbidden, could prove to be quite sticky. Mina probably knew that. In fact, it was probably part of the reason why she only worked with women. No pesky men around to go poking around the henhouse and stirring up trouble. I guess I screwed that up. As my eyes flew open, I found the spot next to me where Claire had just been lying, all naked and satisfied, to be completely empty. Looking up, I saw she was standing behind Nina, right next to Jill, suited up and ready for action. My eyes met hers. Instead of seeing a newfound connection beneath them, I found the same barely disguised disdain she'd had before jumping in my bed and having her way with me. "Has it been 3 hours already?" I asked, a little taken aback by Claire's lack of transformation after last night.
"It's been a little over that."
Mina looked me up and down as I sat up on my mattress.
"I've been looking over the maps we were given, trying to come up with a better pathway to our objective."
"And?"
"And I'm not having this conversation with you until you're wearing pants," she answered, her eyes dragging over me.
Looking down, I saw that while I was thankfully wearing my boxers, Claire must have pulled the blanket off of me on her way out because it lay on the cave floor, leaving me exposed. Mina blinked at me, her eyes trained on me before she continued.
"Get your clothes on and get out here. We're already running late."
With that, she turned and walked away. Claire turned too, not sparing me even the slightest look. Jill did, though. Her eyes, as nervous as they were purple, lingered on me for a lot longer than was completely necessary. It sent a nervous tick through me.
"Hope you had a good night,"
she said in a hushed whisper before walking away herself. As I watched her go, I wondered what Jill knew, but decided I didn't much care.
Focusing on her right now would be nothing but trouble. And given that I was on a bug-infested moon, that was the last thing I needed. I dressed quickly and moved toward the mouth of the cave as my suit revved to life. Mina and the girls were out in the main pathway of the cave waiting for me.